This is Science Friday. I'm John Dankosky in for Ira Flatow. There's an unseen process that probably happens to you every day. You take your earbuds and you put them in your bag, and when you pull them out later, they've become a knotted mess. How that happens is a mystery. We're not going to solve that today. You tie your shoes, you wrap a present, you go camping. We may think we know a lot of knots, but did you know that there are more than 6 billion different kinds? Many of these twisted patterns often occur naturally on the molecular scale. Strands of DNA and protein are packaged into these orderly tangles. Now scientists have created the tightest molecular knot using chemistry. The results were published this week in the journal Science. My next guest is an author on that paper and here to tell us how you tie a molecule into knots. David Lee is a professor of chemistry at the University of Manchester in Manchester, United Kingdom. David, welcome to Science Friday.
Thanks. Thanks for having me on the show.
So first of all, explain what exactly a knot is.
So in mathematical terms, a knot is a closed loop that's got entanglements in it. So the knots that we tie in shoelaces and that Boy Scouts tie, those are open knots in terms of mathematics. They're still knots, but if you close the ends, then you get a knot as a mathematician would understand it.
Okay, so tell us about the difference here with molecular knots. Explain what a molecular knot is.
So a molecular knot is just where you take a molecule and you tie it into a knot. And that's what we've been doing in our laboratory, learning how to do that.
Yeah, okay, you've been learning how to do it. Explain it to us. How do you do this?
Well, the strands that we're knotting are so small that you can't grab the ends and mechanically tie them like you would a shoelace, say. So instead we use chemistry and a process called self-assembly. So we mix together organic building blocks with metal ions and chloride ions in a solution. And these metal ions are sticky in particular directions, and the organic building blocks wrap around the metal ions, forming crossing points in the right places that we need, just like happens in knitting. And then once all the crossing points are formed, the ends of these building blocks are then fused together by a catalyst to close the loop and form the complete knot.
And why is this important to do? Why are you tying these molecular knots?
Well, there's many reasons. As you pointed out, that knots in molecules actually occur in biology, in DNA and proteins, and they form spontaneously in polymer chains. But as every Boy Scout knows, different sorts of knots have different characteristics, which make them more or less useful for particular tasks. And knots should be just as important, versatile, and useful in the molecular world as they are in our everyday world. But we can't exploit those things until we learn how to tie them.
So explain some of the exploitations. What are the things that you would do with molecular knots, especially ones of the type we're talking about here, tied very, very tightly?
Knotting and its counterpart weaving have always led to breakthrough kinds of technology. So even for prehistoric man, knotting allowed him to make tools such as fishing nets and axes with blade ties to handles and how to weave fabrics to keep him warm. So it should be possible to use knots to do similar sorts of things at the molecular level to make new kinds of materials which have got new sorts of properties or beneficial properties. So in our everyday world, we know the benefit of weaving fabrics. Say you get materials that can stretch in different directions, hold their shape, and they're light, strong, and flexible. Hopefully, we'll be able to use the same concepts that we're learning about how to knot molecular strands. We'll be able to use that to weave molecular strands. They're very similar concepts, and use that to make plastics with similarly advantageous properties.
Well, let's talk about those properties. When you knot a molecule, it has a different structure, but what different properties does it have then?
Well, again, it's just like in weaving. Perhaps you can get beneficial properties that make it more flexible and stronger for the same sort of or lighter for the same sort of strength. So, for example, take Kevlar, which is a very strong plastic used in bulletproof vests and body armor and also car brakes and so on. So its chemical structure is actually lots of tiny straight molecular rods that pack together like sort of pencils stuffed in a pencil case. So if we could weave molecular strands into molecular fabrics, maybe we'll be able to get the same sort of strength as those kinds of materials, but with a much lighter and more flexible material.
So we led by saying that you've created the tightest known molecular knot with 8 crossings. So to tell us about this, how this is created and the strength that it gets from this very, very tight, compact knot.
These strands that we're making are really small. They're just half a nanometer across. That's less than a millionth of a millimeter, or 10,000 times thinner than a human hair. So we're talking about really tiny kinds of structures here. The loop, the strand of the knot, is just 192 atoms long. It's got 8 crossings in it, so that's just 24 atoms for every crossing that occurs in the knot. That makes it the tightest knotted physical structure known. And we're interested now to finding out how that actually affects its physical and its chemical properties, because again, as every fisherman knows, actually tying knots in a strand can actually make it weaker. That's the weakest part of a knotted strand. But if we are able to weave strands, conversely, that can make a material very strong.
So why is it that with these 6 billion known knots, it's so difficult to synthesize these? We've only been able to come up with a few. What, obviously, they're very, very small. What else? What makes this difficult?
Yeah, it's about being able to gain control. Being able to control whether the crossings go under and over in exactly the right sort of ways. And it's learning how to do that, which has been difficult, but now we're getting to be able to make more complex knots than are previously possible. And using the techniques that we've learned, we're now able to braid actual strings, just like one braids a child's hair. We're beginning to braid molecular threads, and that allows us to access many more of these sorts of knots than has previously been possible.
Wait, and then what's the next exciting thing you're working on?
Just because we can tie knots doesn't mean that we can immediately go to weaving. So just because I can tie my shoelaces doesn't mean that I can knit a Christmas jumper. And so we've really got to learn how to be able to connect the knots together or extrapolate from the knots to weaving the sort of weaves that we need to make two-dimensional materials, just like the fabrics that we have in our everyday world.
Well, David Lee, thank you for this interesting, knotty conversation. I really appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
David Lee is a professor of chemistry at the University of Manchester in Manchester, UK.